RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's Tuesday morning, which means our regular report from Aussie, 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 from Tim Wilms of theunshackled.net. Tim, good morning. Welcome again.
Good morning, Paul. I've just come back overnight from Tucker Carlson's final event here in Australia, the Australian Freedom Conference, the Melbourne final leg, and it certainly lived up to its hype.
Okay, so we've seen some of Tucker's, or what he's had to say since he's been in Australia, and we'll talk about that after we've chatted about your attending this event. So was it a packed event? Was there a buzz about it? How did it go?
Oh, there was certainly a buzz. Obviously, you're with like-minded people. The atmosphere was a bit like a footy match, except everyone's on the same team. And Tucker loved it that there were people who were heckling in a good way, shouting out about how much they hated this politician or what was happening to Australia. He absolutely loved it. And he's not only a journalist, but also he's entertaining and engaging as well. Because we got him on his, as we speak, flying out of Australia, he first spoke about how impressed he was with Australia, the cities, how clean they are, and just the infrastructure that we have, like how amazing that Australia has been built over the past 200 years plus since European settlement.
What did he have to say about media?
Well, he actually, I think he, at his Sydney show, he spoke about just how stupid he thought our mainstream media was. He was more in a reflective mood about the country. So he's left us with a couple of warnings. And he spoke about his flying all around Australia. He got those welcome to countries, you're landing on this land. And his message was, he summed it up quite well, is that the reason why they're saying it's not your country, you stole it, is because they want to take it away from you.
Oh, okay. How did that go down?
Obviously, this is why he's one of the best. He basically summarized what all of this land rights, native title, anti-colonial mindset. It's about delegitimizing Western nations and also property rights as well. He then spoke about what he observed, some of the thing that raised his eyebrows, and it was the housing prices. And he said it's simply about supply and demand. You've got this insane demand going on from people coming in overseas and not enough supply. And then he talked about how can you have such high prices for energy when you're one of the most resource-rich countries in the world. And then because he was transitioning on to talking about our nanny state, he's an ex-smoker. He couldn't believe that it's $60 Australian for a 20-pack of, yep, of cigarettes. Though when he was talking about our nanny state, and I've spoken about it, how our nanny state, it has led to, well, it culminated in the health fascism that we saw during the COVID lockdowns, and he spoke about the rubber bullets that were shot at actual people, protesters who were protesting against the lockdown. The one thing that quite bewildered him is that he, once he had a Tim Tam, he ate the whole packet. He said, how is this product legal?
Okay. Well, that's sort of connecting with, I guess, local cultural stuff. Did he talk about the Biden-Trump debate?
Well, when Clive Palmer came back on the end, the mining millionaire who helped organize and get Tucker here for the Freedom Conference, and, of course, founder of the United Australia Party, that was his first question to Tucker Carlson. And he said, he compared it that it's like when someone kidnaps you, you don't know who your kidnapper is, but you do if they take their mask off. That was the analogy that he used. And so now many people are realizing, Biden's not actually running the country. He's got dementia.
Wow. Okay. Anything else to say about it before I ask you how this whole visit of Tucker Carlson has, what sort of impact it's had across the board in Australia?
Certainly it has, well, being in a venue with like-minded people, you could have a conversation with the person sitting next to you or in the line to the bathroom during the intermission. Everyone knew which which gender they were and which bathroom go to. It was really friendly atmosphere because so many people these days are very, often if you try and start a conversation with somebody at a bus shelter, for example, they look like you're crazy, but you can just talk to anyone there. And it was really a great environment there as well.
What was the venue and how many people do you think roughly showed up?
So it was the plenary at the Melbourne Exhibition and Convention Centre. I'd say about 1,000. They didn't open up the top level one, though it took a while for all the seats to fill up because there was the security screening, because obviously have to make sure that there's no troublemakers or potential terrorists coming in. The local Melbourne Antifa, one of their various groups, didn't decide to, make a protest that I saw, because what angle would they go to? Tucker's not a... They sort of host, the October 7 Israel-Gaza-Hamas war. Tucker would say a lot of things that the pro-Palestinians agree with. So what sort of angle could they get to protest him?
So Clive Palmer, funded this whole thing with Tucker Carlson or underwrote it or whatever? He was the main man when it came to Tucker's visit, right?
Yes, and he told his own story about during the COVID years trying to import hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin into Australia, but he was scuttled by the TGA and the medical establishment. And he spoke about how when he got COVID, he's a big, fat, old guy, so he's got a lot of comorbidities. And they wanted to put him on a ventilator at the hospital, and he said, no thanks, and was able to have ivermectin and a cocktail of various other drugs as well, and he made a full recovery.
So great, Tim, to hear your experience there at the Tucker Carlson event. There's more to talk about with Tucker, and that is the clips that came out of his, I guess, media conference in Canberra late last week, not too many days ago. And the absolute, in wrestling terms, body slams that he did. And they asked for it too, at least a couple of the journos there. And I see they've been picked up, those clips, everywhere. If anything has gone viral lately, that has. So what's been the reaction to that?
So he made a speech in Canberra where the mainstream media were invited. It was posted in full on his YouTube channel, and he invited Australia's mainstream media, come at me with your best. And the reporter who ended up going viral worldwide was Kat Wong from the Australian Associated Press, which is a news agency which is basically a shell of its former self. So the News Corp Australia and Nine Entertainment, they have their own newswire service now. It almost had to fold, but it got saved by a benevolent benefactor who believed in mainstream news reporting. So they're basically relegated to mainly their stories being in regional newspapers. So the reporter that they sent, Kat Wong, asked Tucker Carlson about him promoting the great replacement conspiracy theory about white Australians and Americans and Europeans being replaced by non-white immigrants. And Tucker immediately pulled her up and said that I don't believe that I've said that. And she said, oh, it's been mentioned on your show 4,000 times. And Tucker said, I've spoken about native-born Americans, including African-Americans, not whites, being replaced. And as far as I know, in the aftermath of this exchange, none of these mainstream media journalists around the world with their vast resources have been able to dig up a clip where Tucker has talked about whites being replaced. And it finished with Kat Wong saying that, do you accept responsibility for the 2022 Buffalo supermarket shooter who talked about the white replacement conspiracy theory?
Right.
Which, of course, Tucker, he demolished them with his trademark mocking laugh and smile. I mean, the whole thing's absurd that you're responsible for somebody else's actions. I mean, the person that's responsible for shooting up a supermarket is the shooter.
Yeah. She kind of walked right into that. I was surprised that she did. She must have known that Tucker is smart and quick, has that laugh, but she still walked right in there.
As I said, Australian Associated Press, it's not what it once was. I, in fact, put it below our state media, taxpayer-funded Australian Broadcasting Corporation, ABC. The reporter there, his question was actually not half bad.
All right. We all saw it. Let's get to a few other things. Julian Assange, obviously huge news. How's that? Some days have gone by now. How's that been playing out in Australia? Arrived back in Canberra on the corporate jet that I think taxpayers paid for, but maybe
no,
they had to
it
raise
was
funds
he
well.
Had to pay the bill himself.
$1,000,
which a lot of his admirers they pitched in to cover that, so that was no issue. Thankfully, the plane didn't break down like your prime minister.
No.
Boeing plane, another victim of Boeing's DEI.
Well, I don't know about that. They're quite old planes. And
so there was thankfully no last-minute U.S. deep state shenanigans when he pled guilty. Our U.S. ambassador, former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, was there when he pled guilty on Saipan, the U.S. territory island. And it was good to see that when he got on the plane from the UK after his release from Belmarsh prison, there was no handcuffs or anything.
No. And he looked quite good too. He looked in reasonable condition, I got to say, considering.
But it's one of those things, we were holding our breath until he finally touched down at the RAF base, military base in Canberra. That was the moment I watched it live. There was the press conference from WikiLeaks afterwards. A lot of people were speculating whether Julian himself would address the media, but it was just his legal team and his wife, Stella.
Yeah, Stella looked a bit tired out, I got to say.
I can understand that.
So
Julian Assange's brother was live on the ABC when he touched down back in Canberra and shed a tear, Gabrielle Shipton.
Right.
So myself and supporters of Australian Freedom and members of the Australian Freedom community, very happy that he's back. But there's a lot of neoconservative journalists, so-called journalists, because they say that he's an activist.
They're just ego-driven maniacs.
A lot of journalists these days, they do activism and as well. They have their biases as well. They claim that Julian Assange repeated it, that he endangered Australian soldiers, even though they can't prove that any of them or US soldiers came to any harm. Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, really wanted to own this. So he called Julian Assange when he arrived back on Australian soil and had a press conference, because this was a promise of his when he was opposition leader that enough was enough. It was time to bring Julian Assange back home. And Kevin Rudd, our US ambassador, as well as Stephen Smith, our UK High Commissioner, who is a former Rudd and Gillard government minister, was also there. So Labor government really wanted to own that we resolved this, we got it home. It's our fantastic diplomacy with the Biden administration and Simon Birmingham, who's the shadow foreign minister, a liberal moderate, which they're not moderate when it comes to supporting the foreign wars and cooperating with the US deep state. So this was very inappropriate, though liberal and national MPs and senators on the dissident right, such as Matt Canavan and Alex Antic, they were advocates for Julian Assange to be returned home. Alex Antic and the former Deputy Prime Minister, National Party leader Barnaby Joyce, went to the United States and had themselves photographed with two Green senators and Teal Independent Monique Ryan with Marjorie Taylor Greene, yep, Republican Congresswoman, who was an advocacy for Julian Assange to be freed. It was quite the photo when it was posted online. Our ABC 7:30 report, a host, Sarah Ferguson, interviewed Marjorie Taylor Greene, which the ABC crowd were very upset about. Couldn't there be a better Assange supporter to have on?
Of course.
Because yeah, she dead-named Chelsea Manning as Bradley Manning.
Oh, you can never do that.
I know.
All right. Well, let's wait now to hear the man himself. Again, time's tight. People are aware of this amongst our listeners, and that is the after COVID TV special, was it? Clips are going around now, and you know, people are talking about it. So what happened there? It seems that a bit of light is starting to be shined into corners.
So 7 News Spotlight, it's a current affairs news magazine program. So they had a panel with former Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, who was unrepentant about supporting the lockdown. So was ANU Associate Professor Sanjaya Senayake, and also pediatrician at UNSW, Robert Boy. Though it did feature UNSW economics professor Gigi Foster, who right from the beginning said that these lockdowns are going to be devastating both economically and to the lives of all Australians, particularly the young. There was a voice given to the vaccine injured, including a young Australian who died from the AstraZeneca shot, and also a former president of the Australian Medical Association and federal MP for Wentworth, Sydney GP Karen Phelps, appeared with her wife, Jackie Stricken Phelps, who was vaccine injured and felt that her head was going to explode. That was the quote there. Also spoke to a surfer by the beach who was arrested as part of the lockdowns because surfing by the beach, very dangerous.
Yep.
So there were still a lot who are unrepented about the decision to lock down when the virus...
They won't be for long, Tim. They won't be for long.
There was a voice given to those who were oppressed and coerced into vaccination.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The light is starting to shine a bit. All right, and I want to go out on this. July 1st, yesterday. So that's when the tax cuts came in, wasn't it? And all the government fees are indexed. What does that mean? Who's taking credit for that?
Well, Anthony Albanese is taking credit that there's going to be tax cuts for all Australians, $300 off your electricity bill, price freeze for the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. Though, of course, all the government fees and charges get indexed up as well. Not talking about that. Though this has been overshadowed And Anthony Albanese has actually lamented this by one of his own backbench senators, Fatima Payman, who is an Afghan refugee who was elected third on the ticket at the recent federal election as the senator for WA. She crossed the floor last week to support a Greens motion to recognise Palestine against the decision of the Labor caucus. Now, if you vote against the decision of the Labor caucus and the Labor Party, you're supposed to be automatically expelled. But Anthony Albanese clearly worried about the backlash in Islamic voting communities if he was to expel a young Muslim for standing up for Palestine. But the factions are very annoyed that somebody has gone against Labour solidarity. So she's been suspended indefinitely and she won't be allowed to rejoin unless she promises not to cross the floor again. You might remember, I think I informed your audience that she repeated the phrase "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," which Anthony Albanese had condemned.
Oh, naughty, naughty. All right. And who is the new Governor General?
So Sam Mostyn, she has been sworn in now, and she also got a nice pay rise from the previous Governor General from $495,000 per year to $709,000 per year.
I'm sure that's gone down.
And
well,
now the Prime Minister has justified this because her salary is fixed for the next 5 years. And unlike the two previous Governor Generals, so Peter Cosgrove and the most recent Governor General, David Hurley, they were ex-military. She's not entitled to a military pension like them. Though I think when her term is up, I don't think she's going to be out in poverty if she's not Governor General's salary.
All right, Tim, as always, thanks so much for reporting in from the unshackled.net. Thanks for letting us know how it was at Tucker. And we'll do it again in a week.
Thank you, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.